ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 23, entitled The Song of the Avanti Brahmana, Text number 29 and 30. Text 29. Soham Kala Vasheshena.
Soham Kala Vasheshena.
Shoshayishyengamatmanah Shoshayishyengamatmanah Apramatto khila swarthe Apramatto khila swarthe यदि स्यात् सिद्ध आत्मनि यदि स्यात् सिद्ध आत्मनि सोहं कालावशेषेण शोषयिष्येऽङ्गमात्मनः अप्रमत्तोऽखिलस्वार्थे यदि स्यात् सिद्ध आत्मनि सोहं कालावशेषेण शोषयिष्येऽङ्गमात्मनः अप्रमत्तोऽखिलस्वार्थे यदि स्यात् सिद्ध आत्मनि सह अहम् आय काल अवशेषेण विद वॉट एवर टाइम रिमेन्स शोषयिष्ये शैल रिड्यूस टू द मिनिमम अंगम दिस बॉडी आत्मनः माय अप्रमत्तः Unbewildered, Akhila, entire, Swa-arthe, in the real self-interest, Yadi, if, Syat, there remains, any time, Siddha, satisfied, Atmani, within myself. Translation by followers of Srila Prabhupada. If there is any time remaining in my life, I will perform austerities and force my body to subsist on the bare necessities. Without further confusion, I shall pursue that which constitutes my entire self-interest in life, and I shall remain satisfied within the self. Text 30. तत्र माम् अनुमोदयन् देवा श्री भुवनेश्वरा मुहूर्तेन ब्रह्मलोकम् खट्वांगः समसाधयत् Translation and purport. Thus may the presiding demigods of these three worlds kindly show their mercy upon me. Indeed, Maharaj Khatwang was able to achieve the spiritual world in a single moment. Purport. The Brahmana of Avanti thought that although he was an old man who might die at any moment, he could follow the example of Maharaj Khatwang who achieved the Lord's mercy in a single moment. Maharaj Khatwang, as described in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, fought valiantly on behalf of the demigods and they offered the king any benediction he might desire. Khatwang Maharaj chose to find out the remaining duration of his life, which unfortunately was a single moment. The king therefore immediately surrendered to Lord Krishna and achieved the spiritual world. The Brahmana of Avanti desired to follow this example. With the blessings of the demigods, who are all devotees of the Lord, he hoped to become fully Krishna conscious before giving up his body.
Om Akyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langai Tegirim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So here we continue discussing about the Brahmana from Avanti and how his life story is very instructive. So he was a merchant and he had some wealth, but he was very greedy and miserly, so he did not use that wealth properly. So as a result, his family members and friends, sons and daughters, they rejected him, and then he lost all his wealth. And then due to these circumstances, he developed this detachment, feeling of detachment. He learned his lessons. So there are many instructions in this chapter, but basically that how we can tolerate these disturbances and insults and offenses which uncivilized men may they may behave very badly towards us, but how to deal with that. And another important thing to learn is how he had this positive attitude. Although he lost all the wealth, no one was treating him nicely, he got beaten up and had many insults, but he was positive. He learned a lesson from it rather than being negative. So this positivity is very important in life. Even the materialists, you will see there's many books on positive thinking, positive attitude, like that. So whatever reverses they have in their life, they try to learn some lesson. But in a sense, this mundane attempt is ultimately of no use. People don't have knowledge of Krishna consciousness, then there is no positivity. So this positive thinking without Krishna consciousness is of no use. So they may, if someone gets bad situation, some calamity in their life, and they think, how do people react? Then the friends, they talk to their friends, and friends will say, "Don't worry, everything will be fine." life goes on. So these are the common sayings, but they don't know life doesn't go on. there's birth, there is death, and what about the next life? And everything won't be fine. There is old age coming, death coming, diseases are coming. So how will everything be fine? So this knowledge of Krishna consciousness is very important. So by having this knowledge, we can actually be positive. As in Bhagavad Gita it says, one who knows the transcendental, Krishna says, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities, does not, upon leaving this material body, takes birth again in this material world, but he comes to my abode, spiritual abode, where there is bliss, full knowledge, eternity. So this is real positivity. So if you, this is in Krishna consciousness, you can get real positivity. But while when we begin the process of Krishna consciousness, so we have to learn many lessons. So it's like gold. Gold, in order to have the full brightness or full the glow, initially it has some impurities. So it's put in fire so that the impurities are removed. So similar way, that these tests that we get in Krishna consciousness, they are like fire. So if we if we pass all these tests, so one day we'll be like shining. Like this. So we should take all the tests. Each day we have tests, you know. Mind gives trouble. Seemingly other devotees give trouble. Or karmis give trouble. So this is all our basically a viewpoint. So after passing all these tests by guidance of other devotees, we can glitter like real gold, like that. So examples are there in Srimad Bhagavatam, which like here Krishna is giving example to Uddhava of Avanti Brahmana. And here Avanti Brahmana himself, he is remembering the example of Khatvang Maharaj, how he attained Krishna consciousness in single moment. So he said, now I will follow his example. So this is what the process of Krishna consciousness is. We see other devotees who have been successful, and we follow the footsteps. That's it. Don't have to reinvent the wheel. So it's already, Krishna has given everything in these scriptures. And Krishna says, by following this path, many, many people in the past have attained perfection. So we just have to follow in the footsteps. So easy. Then one example is there of, we were reading in Bhakti Vaibhav, very interesting example of Queen Kunti Maharani. So she is a very realized devotee. She has this feeling of parenthood towards Krishna, Vatsalya Bhav. So in Nectar of Devotion, when these five main rasas are discussed, there's a whole chapter on each of them. So in the chapter called Parenthood, in which Vatsalya Bhav is discussed, so it is said how deep Kunti Maharani's feeling is towards Krishna. So, and then there is, of course, we can't rate devotees, they all are on a very high level, but still there is order given who has the topmost parental affection for Krishna. So of course Mother Yashoda has the topmost, and then comes Nanda Maharaj, and then further on Kunti Maharani comes on the seventh position, even one position up than the father of Krishna, Vasudev. So she has even more affection for Krishna than Vasudev, the father who gave him birth. So this is the standing of Kunti Maharani, what level she has. But in the prayers of Kunti Maharani in 8th chapter of 1st canto, we see how humble she is. Although she is on such a high platform, but she is very humble. So one prayer she says that how can, you know, I understand, although she knows everything about Krishna and she has developed this affection, this deep affection for him, but still, out of humility, she is saying, "You are known, Krishna. You are known by this great transcendentalist yogis, people who cultivate knowledge. How can I know you? I'm just a woman." So this is her humility. So she is showing by example how to be humble, and or even if you have love of God, you stay humble and we think like, oh, we don't know much, like that. So another in this regard, in perspective of this chapter, how there's different, how to face different disturbances. So this is perfectly shown by Kunti Maharani, how we should deal with these different problems that come to us. But her example is like really extreme. What she says is, you give me more problems. So that's like really extreme. So what she, there's a very nice verse. Says vipada santu ta shashvat tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yatsad apunar bhavadarshanam. So what she is saying is, I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. So that's one of her prayers. So, in the life of Pandavas, what happened was, the father of Pandavas died very, when they were very young, and now Kunti Maharani was a widow. And Dhritarashtra, so the kingdom belonged to Pandavas because Pandu was the elder brother. So now, because Pandavas were so young, they couldn't, they were not in the position to take charge of the kingdom. So for temporarily, Dhritarashtra was there. He was looking after the kingdom. But his son, who is like personification of Kali Yuga, Duryodhan, he was very inimical towards the Pandavas, especially Bhima. And all the way, Dhritarashtra, his father, was supporting him. So under such people with this mentality, Kunti Maharani was there under their protection. So it was a very dangerous situation. You are a widow, young children, and cousin brothers are trying to kill your children, and his father is supporting. So it's a very dangerous situation, and it is said in scriptures, there are six types of aggression. If in Manu Samhita, I think it says that if someone does one of these six types of aggression, you can kill such a person in defense like that. So, and all these six types of aggression were done on Pandavas, all six. So one is like if you steal something, if you usurp the land, kidnap the wife, put house on fire, or attack with a dangerous weapon, or administer poison. So all these six were done to Pandavas. So these were like extreme aggressions done on Pandavas. So now Kunti Maharani is praying that we faced all these problems, but all the time, Krishna, you saved us. Because they were always absorbed in Krishna consciousness, so Krishna always saved them, somehow or other. Directly or through the help of his devotees, Vidura, like that. So watch, and now, after the war, Pandavas won and Yudhishthir Maharaj was enthroned as the king. Now Krishna had to go back to Dwarka to manage his kingdom there. So now Kunti Maharani is praying that when we had problems, you were always with us and you were protecting us. And now when we are in a happy situation, we have the kingdom, now you are going away. So better these calamities happen to us again and again so that we can see your face. So this is the deep meditation of a devotee, pure devotee, that whatever happens, I would remember about Krishna. So, and here it says, as long as we see you, means we no longer we would see repeated birth and death. Means we would be liberated from this cycle of birth and death. So as long as we remember Krishna, we are liberated. And this liberation is the real goal of life, rather than just going in circles, birth, death, like that, these cycles. So main goal of human life is to get out of this cycle of birth and death. So in Bhagavad Gita, the qualification is given. Who is ready for this liberation? Who is ready? Which type of person is ready to end this cycle of birth and death? So it says there, O best of best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. So whatever happens, if you have too much happiness, we shouldn't be too much elated, like, oh, I've got everything, I've got, you know, citizenship in Australia, you know. It's okay. So we shouldn't be too much elated, or when some material disturbance comes, we shouldn't be too much distressed. So such an equipoised person is actually qualified for liberation or ending this cycle of birth and death. So it says, so Amrit Tattvaya Kalpate. So Amrit. So everyone wants Amrit. So Amrit has few meanings. One is, of course, nectar. Everyone wants nectar. And Mrita means dead. And Amrita means immortal. Immortality. Amritatva. So immortality. So such a person who is equipoised is ready for this immortality. And that is the nature of soul. Soul is Sat Chetanam. So Sat, so means eternal. So this concept of immortality is very attractive, because that's the natural position of the soul. So everyone wants to be immortal. So that's why when we say we live happy ever after, you know, like that. So this concept is there, that we want to live happily ever after, on and on. So this concept of immortality is there. But the problem is this bodily conception of life. So people think we want to live on and on, but in this body. That is not possible. So, because this knowledge of Atma Tattva, as we were discussing yesterday, this knowledge of Atma Tattva or the knowledge of soul is absent in this day and age. So people don't know about the soul. So all the endeavors are for the body, and they want to preserve the body ever after. So that's not possible. So we were discussing yesterday how Kamsa was, he killed six sons of Devaki, and then seventh and eighth were Balram and Krishna. So it was not possible to kill them, and Balram was, of course, he was transferred to the womb of Rohini in Gokul, and then Krishna was also taken away by Vasudev. So after everything happened, this Kamsa apologized, and when he saw Durga in the sky, and Durga instructed, oh, you're trying to kill me, but the person who will kill you has already taken birth somewhere else. So he got afraid and he released Devaki and Vasudev, and then he said, oh, you know, you're all the son. Now he killed all the six sons, and now he said, this all happened because of providence, you know. One who, he was telling about this knowledge of soul. He was saying very nice philosophy. Oh, one who has taken birth is sure to die, like that. And then, because devotees are very forgiving, they forgave him. But the main thing that Prabhupada mentions there is, even Kamsa, who is such a great demon, he knew about the soul. But in this day and age, even the most so-called intelligent scientists and philosophers, they don't know about the soul. So Prabhupada was saying they are worse than even Kamsa. So this is the day and age where we are living, surrounded by people worse than Kamsa. So it's a very dangerous situation. So it's obvious thing that we will face many disturbances. But what is the real response to these disturbances is that we have to be equipoised and tolerant, like that. Another very important verse, which is like a key, that how we should react when the disturbances are disturbances come. So it says, it's in Lord Brahma's prayers to Krishna. So it says, my dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. So this is very famous verse, Tatte Anukampasu Samikshamano, like that. So it says, so how devotee reacts is, two reactions are there. When some problem comes, which is everyday story, you know, so some small or big. So how to react? First thing we think, devotees think, oh, this is my past reaction. I have done something bad, so it's just coming back to me. And Krishna is just giving a small token, he's not giving the full, so he's so merciful. And second thing, we depend on Krishna for our protection from that problem. So these are the two important reactions everyone should have. So all the time, it says, all, so devotee is like, he or she is continuing this, their service. But, and problems are coming, so this is, these are the two responses. So, and then example given there is very nice. So that, so these problems are coming, so how, you know, how to deal with them and reach the level of Krishna, pure Krishna prem, like that, the highest level. So it says, it's very simple. It's just you keep going on. You don't leave the process of Krishna consciousness, chanting, hearing, association, all that. But, you just stay in Krishna consciousness. So two examples actually. So one is of a fruit. If when it's unripe and it's on the tree. So when, how does it become ripe? It just have to stay on the tree. If it's on the tree, sooner or later it will become ripe. So same with us. So how to become, how to have Krishna prem, how to become Uttam Adhikari Paramahamsa, just stay attached to the tree of devotional, this ISKCON, or you know, the association of devotees. So that's how we get this real wealth. Another very nice example given is that how if there is a father who has lot of wealth and land and he has lot of property. So how does his son become eligible, the legitimate son become eligible to inherit his father's property? What does he have to do? So it says he just have to live. That's all. So if a son, he just lives, just doesn't have to do anything. If he's legitimate son, he'll inherit the property of father sooner or later. So that's all. So same way a devotee, how to get Krishna prem, so just stay a devotee and avoid offenses, of course, and keep going like that. So this is the way given. Another important thing, example of that Avanti Brahman says, that whatever has happened, but now I want to follow this example of Khatvanga Maharaj. So what happened with Khatvanga Maharaj was, he was very intelligent, so he fought for the demigods, and then they say, oh, what do you want? He said, just tell me how much life I have is remaining for me. So they said, only one moment. And that's it. He surrendered to Krishna and went back to Godhead. So he was very lucky. He could know, oh, how much life is remaining. And same with Parikshit Maharaj. He could know that there is only 7 days and 7 nights remaining. But the thing is, for us, we don't know how much life is remaining. So there's in this, many people argue like this, who have a partial knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, as it says, Ant Kale Cha Mameva Smaran Muktva Kalevram, that at the time of death, if you think about me, you come to me, Krishna says. So many people who misinterpret, they say, okay, so at the time of death we'll think of Krishna. What? Why to stress now so much, you know? Chant 2 hours, read and associate with devotees. Just enjoy. But when death comes, we'll think of Krishna. It's a good deal, isn't it? But the But the fact is, at the time of death, you would remember the things only you are attached to. So whole life, the life is like a preparation and death is the examination. So in the whole life, if you're done attached to all the sinful activities, so at the time of death, you'll forget that verse of Bhagavad Gita. Here we try to remember so many verses and then we forget. But in the case you're engaging in all sinful activities, so at the time of death, you will think that how to engage in such activities more. So next life, you get such a body like that. So this is the fact. So now, Khatwang Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, they knew how much time they have. We don't like that. So we have, so we should be, every day we should live as if, you know, our end is coming soon. And so we should perform, we should give our best performance like that. So it is a nice story of, there was a soldier and he had a horse. And so now the war was going on, and he had a sword, and on the horse he would fight like that. So, and he was feeding the horse very nicely with good corn and very nice food items. And then they won the war, and now it was a quiet time. So now he completely neglected the horse. Mm-hmm. He would give him some dry hay or something, you know, not a very good, and he will ill-treat him like that. So now, again another war broke out, and now he had to go. Now he put up his heavy armor and the sword, and he mounted the horse, and the horse immediately collapsed. So the horse said, you know, how do you expect me to run? I've been eating such bad food and I don't have any strength. So this is the way. So whole life, if we feel, so these senses are like that horse. So are these senses. So we have to feed these senses with all the spiritual things. So feed them so much by hearing, just charge these senses up. And so it's like the horse will, if the horse is strong, then you can win the war. So same way, if we feed our senses with this constant flow of Krishna consciousness, so then at the time of, then it doesn't matter, as it says, for a devotee it doesn't matter if he's living or he dies, because he's serving now and he will serve next life, so it doesn't matter for him. So this is very important to understand the importance of each moment. And in Nectar of Devotion also it says, the word given is avyarth kalatvam. Avyarth kalatvam means a devotee understands that even my one moment shouldn't be wasted. I've got this human life and even one moment I shouldn't space out and not engage in devotional service. Somehow or other we should engage in devotional service 24 hours of a day, if not more. So at least 24 hours. So we should engage in devotional service. And so this is avyarth kalatvam. And this platform of not wasting time is actually, we try to become madhyam adhikari. So there is three levels of devotees. Kanishta adhikari, so he wastes time. So he has less knowledge, less faith. So there is a tendency to waste time. So that's Kanishta adhikari. But madhyam adhikari, we all should come to the madhyam, try to come to madhyam adhikari platform and realize the importance of time and shouldn't waste any time. And of course, uttam adhikari, he's beyond time and space. For him it doesn't matter what time, and he's engaged always in service of Krishna. So we should at least try to come to madhyam adhikari platform. So here, as the example, so here Avanti Brahman is saying that now he has got this realization that, oh, this all is just, you know, material things. I should just detach and completely devote myself to Krishna. And he's following the example of Katmang Maharaj. So this is the quality of effort which is so important. Like Katmang Maharaj, so this is a very common question even the newcomers ask when they come to know about Krishna consciousness. I also had this question, that how long does it take to become Paramahamsa or you attain Krishna prema? How long it takes? So here the answer is given. It's basically how long you want it to take. So what is the quality of the effort? It may take, as it says when chanting the holy names, Bahujan kare yadi shravan kirtan tabutana paya Krishna padesha. Even millions of lifetimes, if you are committing the offenses, you keep chanting, it won't help. But even one name of Krishna is enough if chanted with full concentration. So the example is like, so there should be this desperation, this desperate need. So this example of Draupadi from Mahabharata, that she was in the desperate situation when being disrobed in the full assembly. So then she said, Krishna, with full desperation, when she said, with both hands raised, that no one, nothing else can save me. So that, then Krishna came immediately. Because he didn't come, he's always there. And he's always ready to help. It's just us turning towards him. That's all. So another example is of, like Krishna is said, he's like a desire tree. Whatever you desire, he can give. So it's just that we have to desire. Now tree is there. There's all kinds of fruits there. Krishna prem and avyarth kalatvam, everything we can go and pluck. But we have to go. Bhagavad Gita also it says that he is equal to all. He is not partial to anyone. It's just you have to go and take it. That's all. So our effort is important. His mercy is always there, like that. There is time there. So we'll like to end there. So basically the conclusion can be that how to deal with these problems. We should have full absorption in Krishna consciousness, and we should be desperate to achieve the perfection. And even if some problems come, first of all, if possible, we should ask for problems, that calamities come again and again, so that we can remember Krishna. But if that's not possible and problems anyway come, so we should think that, it's just our past misdeeds and Krishna will protect us. And we should never have that attitude that, Krishna, why me? And why now? So these are two things. Why me and why now? Just be a good God, Why are you giving me these problems? that's not a good attitude. So if problems come, we should just tolerate and think that, I must have done something really bad. This is a small token coming. So, yeah. So I would like to end there and ask if there is any questions or comments on what we discussed.
Guru, I appreciate your example of Gautama prayer to that you tolerate and say the Lord is in the karma. Also, you were saying that you need to be dependent on Krishna.
Right.
Can you just expand that a little more?
Yes. Yeah. Basically, Mataji, I think, saying to expand on dependence on Krishna, is that right? Yeah, that's correct. If the example is basically of for example, the parents have few children. So, almost all time, the youngest one is most dear to them. They will give most protection and love to the youngest, small child. And there are other children, of course, they love all children equally, but the youngest child is more dependent on the parents. So if we depend on Krishna more, He will give more protection. So another example, so we should actually never think that, oh, now we are right, we know what we are doing. So if you see, many senior devotees always, they say these two words, or three words, you know. Yeah, we will do this if Krishna wills. Like, if Krishna willing, we will do this. So they are always depending, of course we have our plans, we want to do this. But in the end, this dependency should be there. That if Krishna wills, and with His mercy, we will do this. So this dependency is very important. Always, whatever level we reach in devotional service, this dependency has to be there. Another example from Srimad Bhagavatam is given, that how about Devaki and Kunti, that Devaki, although mother, she gave birth to Krishna, but Krishna immediately left her same night and went, so she could never much associate with Krishna. Of course later she associated, and but Krishna always he gave more protection to Kunti. So same way, because Kunti was in greater danger, so she was depending on Krishna more. Devaki, she had her husband Vasudeva, he was still there. So Krishna gave more protection to Kunti than Devaki, because she was depending on Krishna more. So the one who depends on Krishna more means Krishna comes towards you more. Is that all? Any other questions?
As you say, you have to pray to God.
Couple of things I heard. See, sooner or later health problems will come, old age will come, disease will come. So what happens, initially we have this feeling that we can do it, you know, we have this strength, we can do it. So that dependency is not there. We are depending on our skill and our strength, which we disregard, which is given by Krishna. So when these problems, so-called problem come, health, so then we should turn toward Krishna like that. So devotees turn toward Krishna. So what happens is devotional service is not dependent on any material situation. Ahitukya pratihata ya atma suprasidati. So any material situation cannot stop the bhakti. So that's one thing. So that doesn't mean if some problem comes, so my bhakti stops. We just have to adjust. Oh, now I can't do this problem. For example, if back problem is there, oh okay, I can't do this, but I can do something else. So you can't do much physical thing, so you can engage in some managerial or, you know, other things which doesn't require that type of service. So there are different services. So if situation comes, so we realize, oh, Krishna, at the moment this problem is, I can't do this thing, this service, so I'll do this service. Or I'll do this service in this way so that, you know, I won't lift things so that it doesn't become worse like that. So that's how we deal with it, basically. So bhakti cannot, no situation can stop bhakti. So no material situation can stop spiritual devotional service, you know. Otherwise material energy would be higher, but para prakriti, the spiritual energy is higher. So, does that answer? Any other questions or comments?
Yes. What was the verse you were saying, good morning, you were saying?
That's tatte anukampa su samikshamano. That's the first line, I haven't remembered. Oh, number. I can't remember. It's 14th chapter. I haven't written, noted down the numbers. 14th chapter of 10th canto. 10th, around, I'm just guessing, 10 to 20, something like that. So, we'd like to end there. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande ki.